produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we give God all the glory, honor, and praise. It is Pearl Coupe once again, just coming to you with another marvelous, great opportunity to be able to share God's enriching and empowering word with you. And it is such a blessing always to have a platform where we can share the reading of God's word and see how we can pluck out and pull out principles that will give us direction for how we need to operate, especially within this season and when this challenging time of lockdown and COVID. How can God's word be that lamp and light to show us the direction in which we need to work and walk in? Well, I want to share with you today from Genesis 35, verses 1 to 18. This is a message I shared on many, many, many years ago. And again, when I was going through my messages, it just stirred up something in my heart again. And I felt, well, let me not just read this message for myself, but let me take out some of the principles in the hopes and prayer that someone out there will be encouraged as much as I was encouraged and inspired. So our reading is going to be taken from Genesis 35, verses 1 to 18. And really, the message is around Bethel. Bethel, we'll hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying concerning Bethel. And the word reads as follows, starting from verse 1. It says, "And God said unto Jacob, arise, arise." Somebody out there needs to arise even in this moment. You've been seated down for too long, seated down in depression, seated down in discouragement and all those things. And God is giving a prophetic word right now to somebody out there to say, arise, arise. Genako, it's time to arise. Arise and shine, for the light of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And for such a time as this, his light is come. Your light is come for this time and for this season. And it's time to arise and get out of your depression, get out of your prostration, the prostration where the enemy put you there, not the prostration of prayer, but the prostration whereby you've been placed there by depression. So arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And God is speaking to Jacob and he says, arise, Jacob, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. Verse 2, and Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Verse 3, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. So you know what? Guess what, beloveds? Jacob is not thinking of arising by himself, but he's encouraging all those that are around him to say, let's do this together. Simunye, we are one. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. This is something that everybody who is in leadership position must have that attitude and that approach. And it's something that, you know, I always feel it's not about arising by yourself, but mobilizing the people that God has given you to be their destiny helper, mobilizing them to arise in, as a community, communal rising up, not just the rising up of one person. Many leaders, you'll often find that they just want to arise and just try and hinder others from arising. So let us arise is what Jacob is saying to the people around him. He said, let us arise, go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. That is the prayer that I have for you and I today, that God will answer you in your day of distress and be with you wherever you go. Verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Verse 5, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were around about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Hallelujah. And verse 6, so Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. Once again, we see that Jacob didn't go by himself as leaders. Let us journey with people around us. Let us not just desire to rise up by ourselves. And in verse 7, he says, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want us to jump now from verse 7. And I want us now to go right now up to verse 17. Verse 17 and verse 18. And in verse 17 it says, and it came to pass when she was in hard labor, this is Rachel now, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, verse 18 now, as her soul was in departing, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. His father called him Benjamin. Well, glory to God. Let's see what principles the Lord will pull out from this passage of scripture that will minister and speak to our spirits, speak to our minds, provoke us and begin to just challenge us in this season, that we will not enter into a place of depression. But my prayer for you and I is that God will begin to unfold and reveal Bethel. What is that place called Bethel? Have you been to Bethel? Well, let's start with saying where Bethel is. What is Bethel in the spiritual realm? Bethel is a Hebrew word. And of course, if we do an etymology and a study of the word Bethel, we find out that Bethel means house of God, house of God. And if you read in Genesis 12, verses 8, you'll remember that Bethel is this place where Abraham pitched his tent. He pitched his tent. So Bethel is also a place of dwelling. It is a place of residing. And if we read again, verse 7 here, it said, verse 7, this is Jacob now. Jacob, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Bethel is a place of, it's a house of God. It's a place of dwelling. It's a place of residing. God's presence is there, beloveds. It's a place where we dwell. So let's not make, the presence of God like a place that you visit. We need to be dwelling in his presence all the time. It is a place of residence. That must be the address where we reside. It's not just a place to visit. It's not like a fast food drive-in. You know, some of us go to services and we treat it as a fast food drive-in. Just go in and out, and prayer meetings. But you know, whether you're in a prayer meeting, whether you are in a service, all the time we need to be in a place of Bethel, in the house of God. We are the temples of God. Our bodies are the temples of God. So that means we are carriers and couriers of his presence all the time. So Bethel is where the indwelling presence of God in you, it dwells in you. The presence of God dwells in you all the time, continuously. It's not a place of just visiting, but it's a place of residing. So we need to be in Bethel in this season, in this time where there are trials and challenges. It's time to be called into a place of Bethel where we are continuously residing in his presence and not visiting his presence through prayer meetings, through visiting his presence through a service and you go and just pop in for a minute. But we are continuously in the presence of God. May God bring us to that place where Bethel becomes a place of residing, and we are couriers and carriers of people who live in Bethel. carriers and couriers of his presence. Bethel is a place where you put God first. It's a place where you build an altar. Altar always represents the presence of God. Bethel is a place of purification. Bethel is also a place where God reveals himself. And the challenge that we have oftentimes as believers, where we can't hear God for ourselves, is because we're not in that place of Bethel. Bethel is where God reveals himself. When we read that portion of scripture in verse 7, and we said God appeared to him in Bethel. And when God appears, he will speak to you. When God appears, he will minister to you. When God appears, he will reveal himself to you. So Bethel is a place that we need to pursue in this time, in this season, because it's a place where God's presence is. It's a place of purification. It's a place which has capacity to break the bonds of wickedness. It's a place which has capacity to deal with all the things that hinder and oppress us. And going back to verse 2, again, Genesis 35, verse 2, it says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments." What is this Bethel, this place called Bethel? Bethel is a place where you put away all foreign, strange objects. There are things, beloveds, in this season that are foreign, that are strange to us as children of God, as sons of God. There are things that we shouldn't be involved in. There are assignments that we shouldn't be involved in. There are things that we should not be looking to do. There are practices that we must not be doing. Those are foreign and strange objects. And in this season, God is calling us out of that. And so you and I need to be very vigilant and alert in this season to put away all foreign and strange objects. Don't get involved in initiatives that do not carry the presence of God. Don't be involved in worldly assignments that will take you out of Bethel. But say like Jacob and be like Jacob, who said unto his household and all around him, he said, put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean and change your garments. I pray that you and I will begin to pray and ask God, are there any strange gods that are amongst me? Open up the eyes of my understanding to anything that is strange, anything that is foreign to the kingdom of God principles, to the kingdom agenda, to the kingdom of mandate, whatever may have appeared in my life, in my family's life, in my household, in the ministry that you've given me to steward. If there's anything that is foreign to your ways, if there's anything that is strange to your kingdom protocols, Father, I pray that we will begin to put away those strange gods, those foreign things, those strange objects. And I pray that God will begin to purify us, because Bethel is a place of purification where we can be clean and change our garments. So we need to put away those people and practices that are not kingdom aligned. Not to say that you hate people who are not kingdom aligned, but we do not yoke with them. We do not yoke with them in this season, because when you begin to yoke, then you begin to practice the same practices that they practice. So whatever it is, in South Africa, we have people who can go to service on Sunday, and on Monday, they are also going to consult sangoma or witch. All those practices which we have been compromising, you know, kingdom protocols with, this is the time and the season to put away all of that. It's a time of purification. It's a time of sanctification. Sangoma and church do not mix. I've seen even some leaders, people who call themselves leaders in the body of Christ, but they are, you know, lining up with ancestral rituals and practices and liaising and linking with sangomas and all of that and trying to justify it by saying that they're African. No, beloveds. You know, we are first and foremost kingdom believers, sons of God. We align first and foremost to kingdom practices. You are a son of God first and an African second. Any African practice that is foreign, that is alien to kingdom practice, we must put it aside. We do not join and align with African traditions and practices that are foreign to our kingdom protocols. So remember that. And we've just celebrated Heritage Day in South Africa yesterday. Whether you are Xhosa or Tswana or Pedi or, you know, Afrikaner or whatever your ethnicity, understand that first and foremost, you are a son of God and you are a citizen of heaven. And therefore, we must practice the kingdom protocols first. first and foremost. So in Bethel, it's a place where you put away all wrong images. It's a place where you and I can align and must align ourselves with God images. It's not a place where we begin to worship idols. It's not a place where we begin to look to golden calves, you know. It's not a place where you and I get involved in pornography. It's not a place where you and I start watching things that are not building us, that are not edifying us, that are not giving direction. We put away all ungodly images. This is what happens in Bethel. So it's not only a place where you put away foreign, strange objects. It's a place also where we put away wrong images. It's a place also where garments are changed. Jacob said to the people around him, put away the strange gods that are amongst you. Be clean and change your garments. Change your garments. Ha! This is a time. It's a season of changing garments, changing garments. You know, some of us have just been wearing garments that were worn by other people, uniform garment. But in this season, I want to adjure you. I want to provoke you. I want to challenge you and say, let's emerge. Emerge with your own garment. God has made and designed and created a specific garment that you must wear. It is a garment that has been custom made and fits you and no one else. There's a garment that God has set aside for you that will help you in your God-given assignment. It's a garment that will fit you because it's custom made for you and for your assignment. It's not too big. It's not too small. It will fit you. And it's not, you know, Saul tried to put his armor on David and it was too big for him. It would have disturbed him. It would have confused him. It would have tripped him up. It would have hindered him from operating in his assignment to take out Goliath. So I want to ask you in this season, are you trying to wear somebody else's garment? Are you trying to put on a garment that has been made for somebody else? In this season, may God open up the eyes of your understanding to the garment that God has prepared for you, for your assignment. So you are not hindered by clothing, by garments that were not custom made for you, that were not made for you, that may be too big, that may be too small, that may not be the right shape. You know, may God show you and open up the eyes of your understanding to the garment that he has made for you deliberately, uniquely, the original garment, original blueprint garment that he has given you. Hallelujah. That you may have your garment that's made to size for this time, for this season, for this moment, in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bethel, again, we're still on Bethel, being in the house of God, a place of residence, a place where we reside, a place of purification, a place where we raise up an altar to God, a place of God's presence. It's also a place where your name is changed. In verse 10, we read chapter 35, verse 10. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Ha! Praise God. Well, Bethel is also a place of name change, of name change. You know, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And we know that the word Jacob means supplanter. It means hijacker. And so when God begins to change your name, because in Bethel is a place of purification, Bethel is a place of alignment. And Bethel then means that whatever negative names you've been called in previously, now it's a place where your name will be changed. I don't know what name people have called you. Maybe they've called you loser. Maybe they've called you no gift. Maybe they've called you failure. Maybe they've called you that you're fat, you know, or whatever negative names. Maybe they've described you in such a way that it's been discouraging to you. But because you are in Bethel in this season, because you are moving, coming out of that place of depression, coming out of that place of negativity and moving and connecting to Bethel, the house of God, it is a place where your name will be changed. And where you've been called failure, God calls you victory. God calls you prosperous. God calls you the head and not the tail. God calls you above and not beneath. God calls you able because he is able and his ability is in you. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above, beyond every imagination that you may have. He's bringing you to a place of Bethel where your mind will be renewed. He's bringing you to a place of Bethel where you will be transformed through that renewal of your mind. He's bringing you to a place of Bethel where every worldly practice will be removed and shaken and sifted out of you. And he's bringing you to a place where the previous character in you is being removed. The previous character of old man, old character, will be taken out in Bethel. And in this Bethel, you will be aligned to your new assignment. You will be aligned to your new name. Your name is the most prophetic thing that you will ever have in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Bethel. So we are moving to Bethel in this time, in this season. It is a great time of moving to Bethel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless God. In verse 18, again, we thank God that in verse 18, now this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, and it came to pass, this is Rachel, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel was about to give birth. And as she was giving birth, she was, you know, the birth was a traumatic birth. It took a lot out of her. And she died after she gave birth to her son, her youngest son. And because of that, she called him Benoni, which means sorrowful. It means sorrowful. Not only was the name of Jacob changed, but also the name of Rachel's son was changed. And it says that his father, praise the Lord, and this is his father being Israel, who was previously known as Jacob. His father called him Benjamin. Benjamin, listen, let me tell you, Benjamin means authority. It means son of my right hand. And whenever you talk about right hand in the Bible, you are talking about authority, authority. It is by this hand that God took even King Cyrus. It is significant and signifying authority. And so Bethel is a place also where your name will be changed from sorrow to now to being a name that carries authority. Bethel is a place where you develop authority. You emerge with an authority. It is not the authority that comes with the world. It is an authority that comes as a result of connecting to your identity in Christ, according to Galatians 3, verse 29, that now you know who you are in Christ, and you emerge as a son of God who carries authority, authority to possess the gates, authority to speak to the gates, authority to take dominion and subdue, according to Genesis 1:26-29 mandate. Bethel is a place where you carry and develop that authority, and you emerge with that authority, with the DNA of a son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a place where your name is changed again. And we see, like I said, the name changed from Benoni to Benjamin. Bethel is a place where you've met God at the altar and you carry that different kind of authority. So your name changed now. Hallelujah. There are some things that change, and name change is one of the things that changes. Praise the Lord. Name change, changing the environment. And right now, I just want you to take time out to speak to the name change of your environment. There's some environmental things that need to change. And you and I need to change the names of our environment. Begin to command the day. Begin to command the environment. Begin to speak to your location. Begin to tell your location to align to the purpose of God. To align to the purpose of God. Israel changed the name of the location. Change the name of the location. That place was Luz. And Luz means, you know, something else. But Bethel means house of God. Bethel means house of God. And so in this time of name change, may you change the name of your circumstance. May you change the name of your situation if it's a negative one. May you change the name of your environment. Change the name of your location if it's out of the will of God. Hallelujah. And begin to change things to line up with the blueprint of God. And so, beloveds, that was my word for you, my word of encouragement today. That in this season, let us be encouraged to move to that place of Bethel. As we get out of lockdown soon, we'll be coming out of lockdown. And as we come out of lockdown, may we begin to go to Bethel. Bethel being a place of residing. Bethel being the house of God. Bethel carrying the presence of God. Let us determine to always be in the presence of God. Not just go for a moment. Not just visit the presence of God. But being carriers and couriers of his presence. Let us determine determine to raise up an altar and become an altar also unto God, where his presence always dwells, is continuously amongst us. Let us determine in this season, in this time of lockdown, to put away every strange god, whatever thing that we may have been idolizing, whether it's social media, whether it's television, whether it's something that is, you know, been taking up all our time, but not in a kingdom way. Let us determine to put away those strange gods. Let us determine to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness. Let us determine to be able to change our garments so that we can arise. Because if you don't change your garments, some of those garments will stop us from rising up. But so we can arise and go up to Bethel, not going by ourselves, but taking others, going with others, and making sure that we build there an altar to God. And as we build that altar to God, God will answer us in the day of our distress, and God will not forsake nor leave us, but he will be with us. And let us get rid of all those things that are deterrents, that are hindrances to our walking continuously and continually in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us walk up and reside in Bethel, house of God, where God's presence resides. Hallelujah. Building an altar and making sure that we can connect to his presence, because Bethel is a place where God reveals himself. Bethel is a place where God's presence is. Bethel is a place where the bonds of wickedness can be broken and those things that oppress will be removed. Bethel is a place where we put strange gods away from us. We can walk in cleanliness and change our garments, abandoning practices that are not aligned to the kingdom of God. Bethel is that place where we put away all wrong images and we change our garments. And Bethel is a place of name change, aligning ourselves to the purposes and the plans of God. Many are the plans of man, but God's purpose will prevail in us. May you and I arise in Bethel, and that we'll allow God to develop that authority that needs to be developed so that we can fulfill kingdom mandate, we can fulfill kingdom purpose, we can fulfill the kingdom assignments that God has set aside for us to fulfill. We bless God and we give him glory and we give him honor and praise. In the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we thank God. Have an awesome and amazing, fruitful, and productive week. I love you with the love of the Lord, and give God all the glory for your life. In the matchless name of Yeshua, we thank you. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
The voice of Apostle Josh Moyo on Chimikoti Ministries Radio Network International. Part 3 on the rock issue. Story of Moses. Glean something from it and learn something from it as we continue with the talk.
I never want you to feel what I felt when I was rejected, because pain is not meant to destroy you. Pain is supposed to reveal what is inside of you. Moses was always a deliverer, but not being able to deal with the issues of abandonment and rejection, he took them out, but did not finish with them to the promised land. What is your issue? I want you to reach the destiny God has set for you, Kai. I want you to reach, Kem, what God has set for you, everything. Not halfway, man. I want you to go all the way. I want you to feel, as you stand there, as you preach, and I hear you excitedly, you're ready for part two of your message. Yeah. My prayer is, let God reveal more. Ash, there is more in part two than what you have already found. The moment you open up yourself before God and allow God to extrapolate, you'll be shocked what you'll find out. You know, we can all say right now, let's preach from John 3:16, and you'll be shocked what comes out. Him? him. Why? Because God is forever revealing himself.
That's so true.
What I know about God today is not all there is to know about him, because he's the only one who can be in yesterday, in today, and tomorrow. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Correct? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 5 to 8. He has promised, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. What am I saying today? I'm saying to us, guys, I want us to understand what God is building in us here. When I saw that picture there, I had vowed before God. As if that was not enough. The time I said yes, I'm invited by the very first white church to preach in South Africa. I go there and the pastor, he put a bulletin outside and everybody knew Josh Moyo. But because he had not put my picture, they did not know who's coming to preach, right?
Oh, no.
So he says in front there, as I'm in church, we have a guest speaker this morning. And we will love him because he's animated. He's an African guy. All right? And I'm going up there and I see almost three quarters taking their Bibles, white fellas, walking out.
Yeah. What?
This is apartheid. Right? I will not have a black man preach to me. Now, why am I telling this? Don't feel pity for me. But I'm trying to say to you, your pain has the gift. You are out of prison to help others out of their prisons. Prison is not IKEA. Prison is what is locked inside here. The potential that is locked inside here. And we try to cover that pain with the drinking, guzzling more and more, injecting more and more. Talk to me. Taking more and more. Finding acceptance around people who don't even like us. We try to please them. They don't even like you. But you are trying to gain to fit in their culture. I'll do what they want me to do. I learned therefore over the journey that instead of covering it up, open it up and say, Lord, what is behind my pain?
Yeah.
What is behind my pain? There must be something there. Why do I feel this way? Why am I resentful against my parents? Why? Because you are not going to get anything better, trust me. There's no perfect parenting. You know that, don't you? They are broken because their parents were broken. Because their parents were broken. That their parents were broken. So there's brokenness that goes generations way before you were born. What you see in your parents right now is the best they could provide, whether you like it or not. Oh, my dad was never there for me. Oh, my mom never. Yeah. I get that. Check it, me. Thank you. Definitely. I get that. But see, the truth is, you are not your parents now. You are you.
That's true.
Who will cut the bloodline of alcohol? You or your child? If you say it's me, then it can be done.
Yeah.
Let's break it. You break it and you tell yourself, I'm going to face this because I know that God wants to set me free. Write this statement down. Invisible prisons that don't have bars. Invisible prisons don't have bars. Praise God.
Yeah.
And the last statement I wanted to write. You don't outgrow brokenness. You fix it.
That's so good.
You don't outgrow brokenness.
You fix it with God.
You fix it.
That's great.
Because our inability to understand that we can't fix brokenness, what we tend to do either then we overcommit. Have you seen when a person overcommit themselves? It leads you to overfunction. Biblical example. Remember Martha and Mary? What's happening there with Martha and Mary? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. What is Martha doing? Overcompulsive. She is overdoing. She is overdoing because she wants to prove a point.
All the cooking and stuff.
She is overdoing. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said, you are cumbered by too many things, Martha. The issue was not the cooking, because we need to eat. But when you overdo it, and we do it all the time.
I amen to that.
I see Christians who do that every time.
Yeah.
They use now church.
Too much serving.
As a drug. To compensate and to prove, please love me, accept me. I will do everything and anything. I'll overwork. So you are always tired. But here is where the catch is. What started as loving to serve, when it goes on overdrive, you know what happens, don't you?
Serve the love, so get love.
You know what happens? Come on, Pastor. Come on. I've been here in this house. I cleaned this place. All these guys are sleeping there. They're all lazy. And I've been doing this by myself. I fixed that. What's happening there?
Give me praise.
What's happening there? Because if it has never been dealt with at a root level, a good thing becomes like a drug that you're taking because you're after acceptance.
Yep.
And I can say that to you about Moses. That Moses, the abandonment and rejection issues, they caused you to deliver them out. But because you delivered them out, has now made you to be the top dog. Please follow me. Mm-hmm. And because now Moses, you are the top dog, that is leading 3 million, what's happening now in Moses happens in all of us when we are running a company, running a business, working in our job, making money.
Yeah.
That is why when God wanted to destroy all of them, you remember? At some point, Deuteronomy, they are bowed. God is angry with the people. He wants now to wipe them out. Listen to Moses. He says to God, you can't do that. Sounds like a very good statement. But now I'm thinking, maybe not. Maybe Moses is looking at these people that become like a panacea for him. These people have become like a good drug. He likes what they make him feel.
Yeah.
You don't believe me?
No,
maybe that is why he's trying to solve all their problems by himself. Remember the story? Until Jethro says to him, Moses, I don't get this. You started at 5 in the morning. It's 12 midnight. You're still going? They need me. People need me. I have to help them.
A false sense of responsibility.
No, he need.
You get me? I'm trying to address something there. I'm trying to open up this for you, so that you can understand what tends to happen in our lives. Until Jethro said, set governance of elders, that will help you. 70 elders help you what you are doing, so that you deal only with major cases. What do we do? We do it every time, whether it's a boss or it's a supervisor, not being able to say no to responsibilities. You become a yes man.
Yes.
to everything. So you committed here, you committed there, you committed there, you committed there. What's happening there? How did you think you're going to do it? How did you think really you're going to do all this? Because when there is an unmet need in us, we become people pleasers.
Yep.
We want to prove we're the biggest prayer warrior. I pray for my pastor. Pastor tells me all their problems because God hears me. It's very easy. It's very easy in the church and in our ministries to find yourself arrogance rising up. It doesn't take that much,
no.
Does it?
No.
And I know it doesn't take that much. And I know as well that you are now using, instead of allowing God to use your gift through you, I now realize now you are using God to use you through your gift. And I'll tell you why, how you do it. Because if the pastor removes you from that responsibility and says, I don't want you to serve in that area anymore, go there. The truth comes out. You get all nucky or got emotional. You go, why is that there? Why did you remove me from there? And then I know I can do that better. And why didn't you just push me around? And I'm so tired of being pushed around. Didn't you say that you will serve? So what's the problem now?
Yeah.
Fixing the couch? Taking out the bins. What's the problem then? Is it not all serving? Let's talk. Come on, boys. Come, let's talk. Because the thing that is not met properly at root level, it grows with you. Starts at 5, starts at 10, it grows up with you. I won't be here today talking to you. I think the reason why I told you about the white military soldiers is because I thought it had gone until I saw a comment on Facebook. And this guy is here now in Australia. He's a pastor. I've supported him over a period of time. He's a missionary. My friend Patrick Humberston. He served from Andrew AONG. I'm sure some of you know him. He served in the Rhodesian thingy. He made a comment because his picture is there. White Rhodesian Army. So you see, I look at that picture. What do you think I'm feeling?
That's what I'm feeling. You felt resentment.
It's boiling. The more I look at it, and he said, "You know, a very good comment. Remembering the days when we were fighting for our freedom." In my mind, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Now, I know exactly what I want to call you now. I know exactly what's happening inside of me. It's boiling. What's happening there? Now, here's what we call an ungodly soul type. What I saw then, left it was gone, we got our independence, everything was fine. But it was lying dormant inside me.
Yeah.
Until I got the trigger. When I saw that. Until I said, Lord, cried after I'd cried for a little bit, a few hours. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Because you've called me to minister to your people. Forgive me.
Yeah.
It was war. I was young. Yes, my eyes probably weren't supposed to see what they saw. But Father, they did not know. It was war. That's what happens in war. Some die. Some are killed. Some are shot. I'm glad they did not shoot my dad. You see, sometimes it all depends how you see the picture. Rather than you dealing on, I will never, but that's the symbol we make. I will never forgive him. Don't get me wrong, Pastor. Don't talk about it. I will never forgive them. And you think you're justified in saying that. But what we're not realizing is, you are piling up toxicity within you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize it. What you allow to grow will continue. You, the only way to fix brokenness, you don't outgrow it. You fix it.
Good.
You fix it by surrendering. You fix it by replacing the old by putting in the new.
Yeah.
I beseech you, brethren, by the message of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and that your minds renewed by the word of God. How do I fix the old rational stinking thinking? By applying what God says. I'm forgiven, therefore I can forgive. I am accepted, therefore whatever there's been rejection, I can accept others.
Mm-hmm.
I do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So these are the few concepts I wanted really to leave with you today. And Pastor, thank you for the opportunity that you can give. And I pray that God's blessing will remain with you in all things. And if you've got any questions, free to ask. I'm not in a hurry today.
Let's start.
I want to pray for you. Spirit of the living God, we are very much aware we cannot fix ourselves. We are very much aware nobody is qualified to go beyond what counseling, medication, anesthetics can do. You can go beyond that. You go beyond what we know. You go beyond what we don't know. You touch beyond what was done to us. You touch beyond what we did to others. Holy Spirit, I pray that God, for these men, may they take every advantage as they are in this house to be able one day to say, every invisible prison that was surrounding my life, the bars have been broken down. I am free. You have said in your word, the purpose of the anointing is to set the captives free, is to heal the brokenhearted. So I thank you. Help us to reach our place of destiny. I look at them here right now, Lord. I see leaders out of them. I look at them right now, Lord. I see influencers of this generation. I look at them right now, Lord. I see pastors, teachers. I see prophets out of them. I look at them right now, Lord. I see those who will be able to change the face of Australia. So, Lord, I pray. Some of them here, they've been so hurt, and the hurt is so deep. But Father, there is no prison door you cannot open. There is no issue you cannot fix. There is no mountain too high. There is no valley too low. Go to the core with your healing hand. Extract the gunk, the junk that has been there and all the mucky stuff. Out of their hearts, out of their emotions. Bring healing to the places which no doctor can reach. Touch them and minister to that wounded soul. Some of them have been pronounced it's over, hopeless, impossible. You will never, ever make it. But I revoke and I cancel. And I break that from their lives in Jesus' name. You are coming out today. You are coming out of that strong in Jesus' mighty name. Would you mind, guys, just say this with me. I am coming out. I'm coming out no matter what. In the name of Jesus. Not by power. Not by might. But by the Spirit of God. Today, I make a choice to rise up, to forgive. I rise up to be what God has called me to be. I am a man of God. and a man of valor,
and
a man of power,
and a man of power.
From today
and
forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. I break every curse spoken over my life. In Jesus' name, I declare my freedom. Now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Love you. Appreciate you. And thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks, Ash. Thank you, my friend. Yes. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
So you would have dealt with the Rhodesian Army stuff many times in the past.
Come again.
You've dealt with that. The internal healing. You've dealt with those things, and you keep dealing with those, and then you see the thing on Facebook, and it's another
trigger something
trigger of a deeper level for you to deal with.
Yes.
So, would you say that I seem to think when stuff like this happens in my own life, it's maybe not so much a trying to get to the very root of the thing and dealing with it all at once, but just remaining soft towards the Lord, because in His own time, He will take us to the levels that He knows we are capable of dealing with. Because I've seen that in my own life.
Yeah. Yep.
And I've seen, the key for my own healing has been remaining tender enough and soft enough before the Lord, so that when He takes me there, I'm able to deal with it, out of a good heart.
Yes, yes. Because, because what I found that sometimes we are not ready when God does that. So I gave you first episode. It's happening in front of my eyes. I'm young. Then what happens is you develop what I call coping skills. And these are your own coping skills. You find them along the way. Oh, get over it, right? That's the talk of that time. You think you're okay. Then I moved into South Africa, and I was 19 when I was preaching in a white church. Remember?
Yep.
Get over it.
Yep.
I didn't think it's an issue. Get over it. It was war, right? So I am there. And as I'm preaching and this is happening, I know what I'm feeling. Oh, probably we're not good enough anyway. Probably white is better than black. Do you see the emotions that the enemy then keep on piling up?
Yeah.
Then until, I think it, where I got my first layer, like an onion, for healing, white missionaries from Africa, from America, came to my church. One of my first churches, Giani, I was ministering there. They come in, and this pastor then says, he cried after he finished crying, and I didn't know what was his message, but his message really was asking for forgiveness, even though he was not South African. But by the virtue of his skin color, he's looking at where the blacks were living, and he's crying in the slums areas. You can understand, it's the inequality was so vivid that you've got this squatters camp and you've got double stories divided by a wall, right? So because we're taking him around, and so you think, but you guys, how do you live through this, right? So whatever it did for him. So it's Sunday, said the message that I have probably is very unpopular. I this is not what I was going to preach about, but I felt I wanted to preach about the chasm that was there between blacks and whites, right? So he took a dish, and he was with his team, and a few prophets that came along with him, and poured water, where he's going to go with it. And he preached about foot washing. So I'm there, I'm sobbing, because I know what's happening in me, right? And he dealt for me. I think what I'm trying to also say is sometimes it's dealt with, but sometimes it's not dealt with completely. And sometimes it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like deliverance.
Yeah.
Some people have said to me, "Oh, Josh, I still feel there's something there," right?
Mm-hmm.
After it was dealt with, right? And you realize, okay, can I have those two? And said, "Yeah, you can, by all means," because you know yourself. Sometimes you remember after they prayed for you in deliverance that, "Oh, I think I've left something."
Mm-hmm.
there's something there that I think I need to be dealt with. Yeah. I'm just giving it as an example, right? Yeah, so for me, him washing my feet, seeing a white guy washing my feet as a black man, my feet, emotions that will be going through me there, right? And my church was 500, I think, blacks, right? And him and his team of eight, we are wanting to help, right? I said, no, God says all whites are washing your feet. Finished all of them. It was one of those services, you know, that becomes very long, but nobody moved. None of us moved. You never saw any dry eyes in that building. People cry.
Once again, thank you for joining us. This is the end of part three on Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network with our co-producer, Kela Paget, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo. This is Real Talk on the issues of the rock issue. Thank you.
Confronted.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.